This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in the city. And now, let's hear the Word of God. There is a voice, guide your way. Come with joy, we'll refresh.
I know what time it is. Bishop is doing, we're all doing a sermon series on numbering our days. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Bishop said it, I'm going to keep saying Bishop said because we're referring to his teachings. This scripture is often used in funeral settings, you know, when everybody's kind of mourning, everybody's kind of sad, and then the preacher gets up, "So teach us to number our days." So it kind of has like a connotation of death to it, but it doesn't mean that at all. This scripture is really a lesson on numerology. It's a revelation on numerology and how earlier in the scripture, Moses was pleading with the Lord. People misconstrue this as well. I see that timer going, y'all. I'm not used to that. So I feel like every second I'm like, oh my God, I'm out of time. Every second I'm like, so that's why I'm stuttering. I'm not used to clocks. So y'all give me a minute to get used to the system. I got to be like, it's cool, Ty. You still got 32 minutes. But all I see is the seconds, like boom, boom, boom. That's all I see. So y'all just excuse me. I love y'all too. So y'all just give me a minute to get used to the system. Amen. All right. So the assumption is that we have 70 years to live and maybe 80 if God is gracious to us. But what Moses was saying earlier in that scripture when he says give us a score, he wasn't saying that that's how long we had to live. What Moses was basically doing was pleading with God to remove a curse that was on Israel, because Israel was under a curse because they rebelled against God. And God said, listen, nobody 20 years and over will go into the promised land. So there was a curse released over the people of God. And Moses was pleading with God, hey, give them more years. Please, Lord, remove the curse. Remove the curse. So Moses wasn't saying we have 70 years to live or 80 years to live. He was pleading with God to remove a curse. Tell somebody that don't apply to me. Right, we don't live under the curse, we live under grace. So Genesis 6:3, this is what God's promise is for us. God's promise is, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So we're going to believe God for the 120 years. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to be around for a minute. Get used to this face. I'm going to be around for a minute. The Bible says with long life, he will satisfy us. So we're going to be around for a minute. We believe in God for more than 70 years. We believe in God for being around 120. Nobody feeble, nobody blind, nobody crippled. Is our God able or no? He's able. So we're believing God for 120 years. So the Bible says, so teach us to number our days, not to see how long we have to live. See, we often don't, oh, I don't want to, how long do I got to live? If I know what day I'm going to die, no. It's not about seeing how long we have to live, but how can I maximize my time here while I'm on earth? How can I maximize each day while I'm here on earth? See, the Bible says Jesus didn't come that we might have church. He came that we might have life. And that more abundantly. What that means, that more abundantly, what that means is to be completely satisfied. Did y'all hear that? To be completely satisfied. So you got to trust that God knows how to completely satisfy you. Because most of the things that satisfy us, God is not in the picture. So because we don't trust God to satisfy us, we turn to things to satisfy ourselves. But you got to trust that God knows how to completely satisfy you. Tell your neighbor, God knows how to completely satisfy you. Ask me how I know. Adam is, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam didn't say nothing. He didn't even realize. He said, go to sleep, Adam. For what, God? Just go, I got you. Just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, and Adam slept. Some of y'all, God is trying to put you to sleep, and you fighting sleep. Let that relationship go. I got something better for you. Let that go. So look at your neighbor and say, go to sleep. Adam woke up and Eve was there. He was like, what? He was overwhelmed because God could do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. If God would have asked Adam, what would you want in a mate? He probably would have described a monkey. Because that's what he thought he needed. You understand what I'm saying? But God knows how to completely satisfy. So number our days, not just how long do I have to live, but how can I maximize each day and be satisfied and fulfilled in God? Woo, I'm excited, y'all. Woo. Are y'all all right, y'all with me. I know y'all with me. Go to this scripture really quick. This came to me. 1 Chronicles 12:32. Numbering our days, maximizing each day, understanding the times that we're in right now. So we'll know what time it is. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, and these are all the people, these are all the people that came to David while he was in the wilderness. And the Bible says in verse 32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. See, you got to have an understanding of the times so that you'll know what to do. The Bible says in Psalms, the first scripture says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So I have to know what time it is for me right now so I'll know what to do. Because there's nothing worse than doing the right thing at the wrong time or doing the wrong thing at the right time. Tell your neighbor, I got to know what time it is. I got to know what season it is. I got to know what God's will is for my life right now. Otherwise, I'll do the wrong thing in the right moment. You need that wisdom. I need to know what time it is because I need to apply my heart to wisdom. I need to direct my energy in the right place. Some of us are spending, we're spending time with people who have nothing to do with your right now. And we're hanging on to people who were good for us in the last season, but you're in another season now and they're toxic. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to know what time it is because you're making the wrong decisions in a new season. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So even the church, this is their 30th year. It's a number of new beginnings. Jesus started his ministry at 30. Everything starts new in 30. New. Everything's new with 30. Just the church, 30th year, everything starts new. There's a prophecy over this church. I'm flowing. I'm going to be back to my notes in 2 seconds. There's a prophecy over this church that went out last year that you will experience days of plenty. 7 years, like you did 7 years ago, that God is going to bless this house abundantly like he did 7 years ago. Y'all, boy, why would God choose this year? Because it's the 30th year. It's the year of new beginnings, new blessing, new anointing, new oil, new wisdom. So don't give them same praise. Give them a new praise, everybody. I feel like running. And it's significant. I'm glad that I'm even here. I think I represent a new energy. No, not that everybody's stale. I'm not saying that, but I think that this is significant. Okay. And I do more than jump, too. I like to stand and worship and lift my hands, too. I don't just jump. But I like to. So you need to know what time it is. Everybody say, I got to know what time it is, man. I need to know what I should be doing, man. I hate wasting time. You ever get out of a long relationship and look back like, I wasted all? Oh, y'all only 12. That was the worst 6 minutes of my... No, I'm saying like long relationships. Okay. I need to know what time it is. You need a revelation. Revelation. I love this description. Let me keep it moving. Revelation. The description of revelation is a spiritual understanding of the plan and purposes of God at the level of my comprehension for which I become immediately accountable. Revelation. A spiritual understanding. Everybody say spiritual. It's not natural. You can't sense it with your 5 senses. Revelation is a spiritual understanding. All right, of the plan and purposes of God. So when I get a spiritual understanding of God's plan, I can look at what's going on in my life and respond differently because my life doesn't always reflect God's plan. So if I'm in a storm right now, God doesn't want me to be discouraged. He knows that, okay, weeping may endure for a night, but I got a revelation that after this, my joy is coming. Look at somebody say, I need a revelation. Revelation, revelation. I love that. Revelation, 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 revelation. It's kind of like, no. Is that rain? Woo! I feel like God is pouring down revelation right now. I said God is pouring out revelation right now. You need a revelation of your relationships. You need a revelation of your surroundings. You need a revelation of your situation. Lift your hand up and say, I receive it. I look at revelation like revealed. When something is revealed, I look at a curtain when it's closed, and when it's open, everything is revealed. So that's revelation. Wow, I see it. But revelation to us spiritually is, even if the curtain is closed, I know what's behind there. Even if I can't see how this is going to end, I know how it's going to end. Even if I can't feel how it's going to work out, I know it's going to work out. Why, Ty? Because I got a revelation. And we know that all things, I feel like, work together for good. So no matter what it looks like, it has to end good. I got a revelation. When you get a revelation, you respond differently to storms. Y'all quiet over here. Let me go to my praise side. When you got a revelation, you respond differently to problems. Problems don't take you out. Sickness don't take you out. Because you don't stand on your life. You stand on the word. I got to calm down. So somebody scream for no reason. Okay. So we had a prophetic word that we're going to experience blessings like we did 7 years ago. It's a prophetic cycle, 7-year cycle. Joseph prophesied, you'll have 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. Dr. I said it last night, the year 2000, we was rocking. 2000 was crazy. I mean, after the rapture didn't come because we thought the world was going to end. As soon as that 12 clicked, I was like, hey. Everybody, Y2K, Y2K. So after that thing didn't happen, it was rocking. Life was good. It's about 06. 07 hit. This is my days of heaven in 2000. I didn't get days of heaven in 2007. I got days of the opposite. Life kind of got crazy. Economy hit 08. Poor Obama had to take over all this financial deficit. So it got kind of crazy. We had 7 years of famine or lack or less. But now, tell your neighbor, I feel a shift. Now it's 2014. This year marks the year of better things. This year marks the year of greater things. This year marks the year of 7 years of plenty. God is from everlasting to everlasting. So he doesn't need time. He lives in the eternal now. God is always eternally right now. See, God is always current. He's always relevant. That's why I don't understand when young people don't come to church or young people ain't saved. I don't understand it. We got to change how we present it then. Because there's no way you're going to see God for real for who he is and not be drawn to him. He's always relevant. I love Kanye and Kim, but they're not more relevant than God. God is right now. God is always right now. He always is. When Jesus walked the earth, kids, young people ran to him. And the disciples were like, yo, chill. He said, suffer little children. Let them come. He had to say, make way for kids to come to me. They were running to Jesus. That's how relevant our God is. I want that same rush in these 7 years. Young people running. Where's Jesus at? Where's Jesus? Because he's relevant. He's always right now. He lives in an eternal now. He's everlasting. So he's in an eternal now. But in eternity, he carved out these segments called time for us. See, we can't handle all eternity right now. We probably just explode. So he carved out time for us, for the human experience. And within that time, he carved out, well, there are dispensations. Dispensations is how God deals with man. I like to call dispensations the lenses in which God views man, right? The lenses in which God views man. It's how God deals with man, all right? The first dispensation was innocence. Innocence. Adam and Eve, they were innocent, all right? The second dispensation is conscience. Now you know. The third, I forgot. It keeps going on. I can't stay there, but now we're in the dispensation of grace. Good God Almighty. The dispensation before this was law. You got to do it or you get your thumb cut off if you steal. Now we're under grace. Where we get what we don't deserve because Jesus lived the life we couldn't live. Y'all, it should be more noise than that, man. I'm sorry. Dispensation of grace. And within the dispensations, there are prophetic moments. There are times and seasons for prophetic moments. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. You got to know what time it is. Don't miss your moment, y'all. The prophetic moment always defies. It defies. See, when it's prophetic, it's spiritual. So it goes against, you know, natural laws. God always interrupts natural laws or what we think should happen. It defies human supplies, human statistics, human suggestions, and human senses. The prophetic moment defies that. Human supplies. We don't have enough. Human statistics. They said I ain't gonna make it, but look at me now. Oh, look at me now. Oh. Human suggestions. Did God really tell you to do that? I mean, like, for real, though. The moment defies that. And human senses. I don't feel like it. I love what Dr. I said last night. She said, nevertheless. When she said that, I was like, ah. Y'all probably hear me screaming. I was like, ow. She said, nevertheless. We're going to go to that scripture now. Everybody go to Luke chapter 5. Nevertheless, man. That means despite what I feel. Even though my feelings don't line up, I line my feelings up with the word. Did y'all hear what I just said? So you can't wait till you feel like obeying God to obey him. You can't wait till your feelings line up with the word of God because they never will. The spirit is enmity against the flesh. The spirit hates the flesh. So you gotta bring your flesh into alignment. Say, God said this, so body, this is what we're doing. Mind, this is what we're doing. Heart, this is what we're feeling. Legs, this is where we're going. Because the word said it. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Ooh, I love this story. Can you pause the clock, please? If I take a drink, is that a pause? Can I get some water and you pause the clock? Like, how's that still on my time if I'm getting something to drink? That ain't fair. Yo, Dr. I, we gonna talk. That ain't fair. I just want to sit, and it's my clock still ticking. I'm just playing. Let's go to the scripture, y'all. We're going to see how the prophetic moment defies all those natural things. This scripture is going to prove that the prophetic moment defies all of that. I love this scripture. We're going to pull some things out. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of, how you say that, Dr. I? Gennesaret. He stood by that lake. Jesus stood by the lake and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of that ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. It's time for some of us to go deeper. Look at everybody and say, go deeper and launch and let down your nets for a drop. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken in nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Somebody say fishes. And their net break, and they beckoned unto their partners. He called his friends over, come help me because my boat is sinking. And I like verse 8 as well. When Peter saw it, he fell down to his knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Look at this. Let's talk about this. The prophetic moment. Prophetic moment. Jesus is teaching. The crowd is present him. It's getting too crowded. He didn't plan for this, but he was like, Simon, let me use your boat. Jesus gets on the boat. He starts teaching. Simon obeys him. He says, now you let down your net for a great catch. Simon said, listen, I heard of you, and I kind of like what you're doing in an area. It's cool. I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. We fished all night, and we caught nothing. Since I'm a fisherman, I know you don't fish during the day because our nets are big and thick, and the fish will see it. So if I'm a smart fisherman, see, it defies this. It defies it, y'all. If I'm a smart fisherman, I don't fish during the day. But we did it all night, and we caught nothing, and I'm smart. But you know what? Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll try it again. And God is saying, New Light, we're coming into 7 years of blessings. That what you tried before, even if it didn't work, God is saying, try it again. It didn't work in 07. It didn't work in 08. It didn't work in 09. It didn't work in 2010. It didn't work in 2011. It didn't work in 2012. It didn't work last year. But try it again. And when you try it this time, he's going to blow your mind. Oh, shut down. I said, when you do it again, he's going to blow your mind. Sit down, y'all. My time is clicking. Try it again. 2014, number of deliverance, 14. Deliverance, salvation. I'm rushing. Let me go back. Try it again. They caught fishes. It filled the boat. See, when Jesus got on the boat, it was empty. Jesus will never ask for a boat he doesn't plan to fill. God will never ask for something he doesn't plan to fill. Okay, let me keep moving. The boat got heavy. He said, come help me, friends. Come help me. So their boats was filled with fishes. That's why I don't understand haters. If God is filling my boat, it's only a matter of time. I don't understand haters. Peter called them over like, come get some of this. See, oh my God. It will be in your best interest to stay on my good side. Because when God start blessing me, I'll say, come get some of this. Look at your neighbor and say, stay on my good side. Stay on my good side. I know I asked you for gas money last year, but it's a new year. Somebody say, stay on my good side. Now, when I was growing up in school, they taught me this wasn't a word. Maybe you can correct me, but don't do it now because I want to preach this moment right here. The Bible says he caught a multitude of fishes. I was taught that's not even a word. What are you saying, Ty? In these 7 years, God is about to bless you beyond words. You're going to have to make up a word to describe how good he is to you. Okay, look at your neighbor, just say fishes. That's how good he is at fishes. I can't find a word, so I gotta make one up. He's been gooder than last year. He's been gooder. Fishes. So we got a word that God is gonna bless us beyond measure. We got that word, but it has to be validated now. How do I know that's really the word of God? Ty, that sounds good. Okay, but how do I know? How do we know? As New Light Church, how do we know? Every prophetic word must be validated. Everybody say validated. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Just take a note. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in the prophet, so shall ye prosper. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, this is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word be established. So when you get a word, this is going to be the best 7 years of your life. Man, you like, cool, Ty. I mean, you just got ordained. Of course, you're going to say that. You got nominated for a BET award. I'm so hype about that. Okay, anyway, I'm back. Woohoo! Yeah. So, but how do I know that word is for me? Out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let it be established or locked in. This is what the Bible teaches us, okay? So I know because it's out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. I know because by precept and examples, I can see it throughout scripture. I know because the prophet doesn't speak anything that God didn't already say. Prophet don't speak anything that God didn't already say. It's just a prophetic echo. Everybody say prophetic echo. Yeah, prophetic echo. Elijah stood up and said, there shall be no more rain until I say so. Now, he didn't just have a Holy Ghost swag. I was like, let me just tell these people something real quick. Hold on, excuse me. Ain't going to be no more rain until I say so. God bless you. I'll holler at you in a minute. No, he didn't just have swag. He was echoing what God said earlier. Earlier in scripture. What scripture is that? Help me. Deuteronomy 11:17. The Lord said, his wrath is kindled against you, and he will shut up heaven, and there will be no more rain because they disobeyed God. So he was echoing what was already said. So now you know that word is valid because it was said before. Amen? I'm trying to move fast. You see that clock up there, like clue, clue, clue. Also, the prophet's track record should be good. Paul said, every time I gave you a word, it came to pass. So you should know that when I speak to you, I'm not going to tell you nothing that God didn't tell me. So you know that that word is valid because of my character. You know that word, Bishop's character is spoken all across. I travel all over the world. Bishop I.V. Hilliard's character and integrity is spoken about all over the world. I'm telling you what I know for a fact. So you can rest assured when he speaks, this is what God is saying to this house. You can be like, it's validated. I trust his character. I trust his integrity. And I know God speaks to that man. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. So now that it's been validated, it must be valued. You got to respect. You got to value the prophetic word because it's coming from an eternal God who picked this moment and this season to bless you. The moment must be valued because of divine orchestration. God's divine orchestration. So he don't just speak a prophetic word that he didn't already orchestrate to happen in your life. All right? I'm looking at a conductor. I was in the orchestra in band in high school, and the conductor would conduct, and then he'll lead to the flutes. And then the drum. Y'all like that, right? She was over there like. All right. So God orchestrates like that. He tells the blessings when to enter into your life. He cues the blessings. It's 2014. You go now. It's 2014. Healing, go to them. It's 2014. Deliverance, go to them. See, it was waiting 7 years, but now the conductor is releasing it over your life. Good God Almighty. All right, so he's releasing the people you need, the provision you need, and the power that you need. He's already orchestrated it. So you gotta value this moment. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of blessings. No, don't half receive it. Value it and respect it with full confidence that God cannot lie. The reason why I received that word for my life is because I know God cannot lie. Everybody say, God cannot lie. And also respect that all things are happening in the spirit realm. So when you speak a word, it's happening in another realm. So you're not going to see all the accompanying, you know? You're not going to have the accompanying evidence. When you walk by faith, your only evidence is the word. All right? So it's happening in the spirit realm. Somebody say it's happening in the spirit. Understand, also respect that God is not a respecter of persons. So when God speaks a word over New Light, that means for me too. Everybody say me too. He don't love Ty more than me. He don't love Dr. I more than me. He don't love Bishop more than me. Because if he did, Bishop wouldn't announce it to the church. Bishop would have just walked into his 7 years. But he announced it to you because it applies to you. He's not a respecter of persons. If he healed before, I feel a... Oh, God. I almost did my song again. I'm sorry. Got to mix it with faith, y'all. Got to mix it with faith because God is not obligated to reschedule your prophetic moment, man. He's not obligated to say, okay, they're not ready. Let's wait. Don't miss the moment. It's here right now. Don't miss the moment by doubting. Don't miss the moment by gauging what 7 years of blessings, but looking at your situation. No. Never view God through the lenses of your situation. Ever. Because God is not bound by your situation. All right, let me keep it moving. All right, you must also respect that Satan desires to steal my faith by manipulating my mouth. Ooh, did y'all hear that? All right, I know. Satan wants to strip your faith by manipulating, I love how this is worded, Bishop, your mouth, not your mind. That's where the battle is. God is cool with that. You can wrestle in your mind all day. But what comes out of your mouth is what you believe. Out of the abundance of the heart. Yeah, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. So God is not overly concerned with what goes on in your mind. I mean, he's concerned, like he'll give you perfect peace. But y'all know what I'm saying. You're not a sinner if thoughts come through your mind. You're not a sinner if doubt comes. You're not a sinner. But what comes out of your mouth, it puts a stake in the ground. Like, this is what I believe, regardless of what's going on up here. Can I prove it to you really quick? Okay, look, we just said the scripture earlier. Elisha said, there will be no more rain until I say so. So the servant of the king said, it's a famine, dude. People are eating bird poop. No, they're not eating it. They're selling it. That woman just ate her kid. And tomorrow night, they're going to eat her kid. What you mean we're going to be blessed? You said by this time tomorrow, not even if God opens the windows of heaven. Elijah was like, oh, okay. Since you feel that way, you're going to see it. But had no part in it. Tell your neighbor, watch your mouth, please. See, it wasn't the fact that he thought it. I'm sure everybody was standing around like, how in the world is that going to happen? But the fact that he said it. You shouldn't say everything you think. That's why I hate social media. I hate social media sometimes. Everybody just say whatever they think. I'm like, good Lord, could there be a Holy Ghost filter on this? No, not Holy Ghost, a wisdom filter. Watch what you say. That's why, I feel another one really quick. That's why when Elizabeth got prophesied to, you're going to have a son. The husband doubted. God shut his mouth. Until the baby came, God shut his mouth. I don't want you cursing what I already blessed. I don't want you talking against what I already established. I don't need nobody up in here. Whatever. Bishop, you sure? Bishop, yeah. Do you think Bishop? Don't speak against it because you'll see it. You'll see us blessed. You'll see us healed. You'll see us riding pretty. You'll see us living large. But you won't live it yourself. Don't let the devil steal your blessing by putting false or doubtful things in your mouth. Tell your neighbor, watch your mouth. I know this is a prophetic moment. I said, I know this is a prophetic moment. I'm not here to just figure it out. I'm not moving and relocating my whole family to figure out if God is in this. I know God is in this. I didn't say I feel. I know God is in this. Somebody say, I know. And I declare that these next 7 years will be better than ever. I believe the word. I align my faith, and it shall be as the prophet has said. Now high five your neighbor and say, I know what time it is. I know what time it is. You both shut together. I feel Pentecost now. I said, I know what time it is. Let me close this. Woo! Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you how I know what time it is. I'm going to age myself. But I'm the same age as Dr. I. Yeah. I told this little girl how old I was one time in the mall. She started crying. I'm like, I'm not going to die tonight. I got 120. She thought I was so much younger. Anyway, I'm going to tell you how I know. This is God's prophetic time right now. I know what time it is. 1996, June 8th, GA had our debut concert. My group. GA had our first concert in Philly. I started my music ministry. June 8th, 1996, my first concert ever. June 8th, 2004. June 8th, 2004 now, my first CD came out called Life. Yep. It launched my career. June 8th, 2011, I started my Bible study ministry called Word on the Street. It was a Wednesday night. And now, June 8th, Sunday, God ordained me youth and young adult pastor over New York. Y'all quiet for some reason. I don't know what's wrong with you.
our season. God's favor is on us. God's blessing is upon us. Forget how it feels. Forget how it looks. Forget how it seems. It's your time. Dr. I, it had to happen today. It had to happen June 8th for me to validate that this is the Lord. For me. June 8th may not be significant to others, but it had to happen for me today. Woo! I'm sorry, I'm taking a personal praise moment. Just forgive me. It had to happen, man. Today it had to happen. June 8th, hands laid on me. Anointing poured on me. Ordination. This never happened in my life. My wife and I have been looking for a spiritual father since I started my ministry in 96. In 1996. We've been looking for just a spiritual father. We've had pastors, but I never had hands laid on me. I never had a father speak over my life. It had to happen today, y'all. Because God ordained a prophetic moment. I know I'm talking about me, but it's for every. This is just a testimony that is for everybody. And it's Pentecost Sunday, the day the fire fell. I messed around and got anointed on the day the fire fell. Y'all, Houston, we have a problem for real. God done lined this thing up so that I got hands laid on me the day that fire fell. Y'all, boy. Oh, Jesus. Woo. So we know. This is true. The prophet spoke it last year, but it's true. 2014, the year of deliverance. The year I break free. 14, the year of deliverance, man. The year that the things that had me bound for the last 7 years, I break out of it. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. Whatever had me tied up all those years, this is the year. I break free. Who cares if it didn't work last year? This is the prophetic moment right here. Man, don't miss your moment. Everybody stand with me. 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 I know this word is true. I know it. And it's been validated out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. You base the word of God on the word of God. If it's a prophetic word, it must line up with the word. And this word has. So it has to be true. Tell your neighbor, I know what time it is. For some of you, it's your time.